on to the next section, the Lord willing, next week. But I want to bring some truths to you that the Lord's laid on my heart. I'm going to kind of highlight some things here out of the book of Leviticus. We've been studying about the law of the offerings. We talked about those five particular offerings. I hope that you haven't forgotten them. It's been a while since we've been in Leviticus. We had a few things that we wanted to go through as far as our Wisdom Wednesdays. We had guests speak, our missionary. And so it's been a few weeks. But by way of review, you remember there were five offerings, right? That were mentioned in these first seven chapters. That was what? The burnt offering? Meat offering, right? Yeah. Peace offering, sin offering, trespass offering. So those are the five, okay? Then you get over into some of the other later chapters. After chapter number three, you start finding what the law of the offerings are, how that God gave specific detailed instruction about how he wanted those to be carried out. And then in chapter number eight in particular, you start getting into the priesthood. Those that were going to carry out these laws and these offerings. And so that's kind of where we left off, and we talked about a few things. I'm going to give you just a little background and add some things in chapter 8, but I'm eager to get into chapter 9 and 10 tonight. If you'll remember in chapter number 8, Moses called the people together. And when he called the people together, there was a phrase in chapter 8 that was repeated regularly. If you'll notice in verse number 4, it says, Moses did as the Lord commanded him. Verse number 5, which the Lord commanded him. Again in verse number 9, as the Lord commanded Moses. Verse number 13, the latter part of it, as the Lord commanded Moses. So we see that God has a certain way that he wants things done. Moses didn't just get together and say, you know what, I think I'm going to teach these people a certain way to do something. He said, I'm going to do it the way God told me, and that I'm going to teach them, as we shall see, to do it that way. And brethren, God still expects that out of us. God wants us to find out the way that he wants it done, and then to do it. If you'll read in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, as I have received of the Lord, so I delivered unto you. That's exactly what's going on here in chapter number 8 in the old economy. It's transferred into the new economy. God expects us to find out the way he wants it done in his word and then do it that way. And that's in every act of God, in every work, from salvation to service to missions, everything. God says, I have a way and I want you to find that way and do it that way. Now what happens when that happens? What happens when people find the way God wants it and does it that way? God blesses it. And we're going to see that in the scripture tonight. Now, some people think, well, I go to church and so God is obligated to bless me. No, he's not. God's not obligated to bless people because they go to church. God's not obligated to bless me because I do a service. Now, God will bless an individual and a collective group of people when they do what God has said, God's way. Then he will bless it. So we'll find, as we close out this section in chapter 10, there was a couple of men, they were sons of Aaron, who took it upon themselves and said, well, we're going to do it our way. And it didn't end well for them. Okay? Now, there's people in the New Testament that the same thing happened. Namely, Ananias and Sapphira. But there are others. And Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said, because of that, many are sick, weak, and some even sleep. So God takes it very serious. Now, there's a lot of people in our age that do not take serving God seriously. But that hasn't changed the fact that God takes it serious. And I want to take it serious, and I believe you want to take it serious. And it would behoove us to take God's work and God's word seriously and not frivolously. God wants us to do his work in a serious and in a scriptural manner. Now, there's something here in chapter number 8 that we looked at. There were some things that God said that I want you to do. He said, I want you to dedicate these priests. In verse number 5, remember what we said in verse number 6, in chapter number 8, verse number 6, he washed them. Got to be clean. Listen, this was real, but it was symbolic. God wants you to be clean. God expects the vessels that are going to serve him to be clean. Then we've seen in verse number 13 where it says, he clothed them with coats. And so God will, he will not only wash us, he will not only cleanse us, but he will equip us. He clothes us. And then we've seen in verse number 22 of chapter 8, there's the consecration. Now, please get this, okay? Man's part is to dedicate. If you're willing to come to God and say, God, I give myself to you. Now, that's a choice. That's a choice. God's not going to make you serve him. It's a choice. Romans chapter 12, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. That's a presentation that every believer should make. Now, it's obvious that not every believer has made that presentation, but every believer should present them their bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And the Apostle Paul went on to say, it's just a reasonable service. So our part, my part, your part, once a man's saved, once an individual is saved, God says, now dedicate yourself. And then this is what God does to those who will dedicate themselves. Look at verse 22. The Bible says in Leviticus 8, verse 22, and he brought the other ram, and it says that this ram was the ram of what? Consecration. So see, man's role is dedication. I present, I dedicate, I give myself. And God's role is consecration. So don't get those mixed up, okay? Man's role, dedicate yourself to God. God's role, then I will set you apart. I will consecrate you. I will equip you. I will fit you for what I've called you to do. All right? So that's chapter 8. Now, we'll come back to a couple of things in chapter 8 that are very important. But I want to go on to chapter 9. So that's, you come through chapter number 8 and you get to chapter 9. And in chapter 9, we said in chapter 8, that was the dedication for worship. In chapter number 9, we find direction of worship. Now, there's a few things I want you to notice in Leviticus chapter number 9. And if you write in your Bible, if you're taking notes, I want you to underline or take note of a few things. Now, I want you to notice, as I mentioned earlier, there are people, when you give them an invitation to church and you ask them, are you saved? They say, well, I'm saved. You say, well, I'm not to give you an invitation to church. Do you go to church anywhere? Well, I don't go to church. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, they say. Well, in some respect, that's so, okay? We could get technical and say that that's not so. You don't have to go to church to be saved. But now, if you want to get technical, when you begin to identify what a Christian disciple is versus what a saved person is, they're two different things, okay? And so, we don't get technical. Most people who make statements like that are one of two things. They're either ignorant to the Scripture, or they've been so hurt that they don't want to talk about it, and really, we just have to be careful how we handle that, all right? So I want to encourage you, be careful. But technically, if you want to be a good Christian, you should join with a local group of believers, serve God through a ministry of a local church, and worship collectively. So, well, now, preacher, I can worship individually. Well, I understand that. We've already covered that. But now notice this, and this happens all the time in the Old Testament. Notice this phrase here, okay? Look, if you would, in verse number 3. And to the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying. Okay, now he didn't say get Aaron or get one of Aaron's sons. But now that's who he's been dealing with, okay? That's who the dedication's been, Aaron and his sons, the priest. Of course, Aaron was the high priest, and his sons were the priests, and there were other priests in the tribe of Levi, right? But he didn't say, just get them. He said, the people, look at it again in verse number 3, unto the children of Israel. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. It says, and they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, watch this now. And all, chapter 9, verse 5, and all the congregation drew near. How many of them? All of them. That's corporate. That's collective. See, there's times God wants it that way. Now, there are times that God wants it just me and him, you and him. Sometimes God wants small groups like we have in our prayer time. Sometimes it's just you and your mate and God. Sometimes it's just you and God. Sometimes it's just you and your family and God. But there are times where God wants a collective body to come together in a local assembly and worship Him. And we have set aside those times. Sunday morning, Sunday school. Sunday morning worship. Sunday night worship. Wednesday night. We have special meetings. We have followed what we believe to be the teaching of the Scriptures. Taught Nehemiah. It's taught throughout the Scripture. We could go on in the New Testament, the Old Testament, where God calls groups of people together and He says, worship. Worship. Look again, if you would, in chapter number 9, in verse number 7. Right in the middle of that verse, He said, for thyself and for the people. We could go show verse after verse after verse where God says, I want all the people. I want a collective group of people to come together here for this purpose. All right? For the purpose of what? Worship. We're going to see that's what they're doing here. They're worshiping. And God said there's a time for public collective worship. And I'm thankful for those times. Some of the greatest times in my life, some of the greatest experiences in my life, and some of the greatest happenings in my life have taken place in a public worship service. I thank God for the local church. Amen. I'm so thankful for the local church. And God has birthed that church. Jesus is the head of that church. And if you're saved, you're part of the body that is the church. And so we thank God for that. Now, that's something I wanted you to see in chapter 9. All the people. Now, let me show you something else that I think is really important. As a church, it was the same way in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. When we meet here, we're doing several things. The number one thing is worship, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But it's also a training center. It's a time to train others. Let me show you what I'm talking about. If you'll go back to chapter 8, you'll notice a few things, and I'm just going to point these out. In chapter 8, verse 4, it says, in Moses, what's that next word? Chapter 8, verse 4. Say it with me, congregation. And Moses did. Moses did it. Moses did it. Not Aaron. Not the sons. Why? This is a training process. You're going to see where Moses showed them how to do it, and then he tells them, now you do it. That's good training. You watch me do it, and now you do it. That's mentorship. That's training. That's what we're doing here. That's what every local church ought to do. You don't want to die? Train the next generation. Train the next man. So that when you step aside or when you go down, next man up. Next man up. Why? That's the way God wants it. Over and again, God, listen, He goes to great extent, if you will allow me to say that about the Holy Spirit of God, to let us know in chapter number 8, Moses did this. Chapter 8, verse 4. Look at chapter 8, verse 10. And Moses what? Moses took. See, that's an action word. Moses is doing it. He's not just given the commandment. He's doing it. All right? Chapter 8, verse number 13. Moses brought Aaron's sons, and who he put coats upon them. Who did that? Moses did, you see. Moses did that. Moses is carrying out these actions. He's carrying out these actions. We could go on and on. Verse number 15. And Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar. Chapter 8, verse number 20. And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head. Over and over again, you go through chapter 8 and you find where Moses is carrying out the duties. He is showing Aaron and Aaron's sons, this is the way you do it. Now look at chapter 9. In chapter 9, the Bible says in verse number 1, it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. You know why he called them? Because he said, now it's your turn. You watch me do it. I showed you how to do it. Now you do it. See, that's good training. That's what God's looking for, brethren. By the way, fathers, this is the way you train your sons. Moms, this is the way you train your daughters. Ministry leaders, this is the way you train your ministry followers. This is God's way. This is God's way. Why has so many people gotten lost in this world in which we live? Because they haven't been brought up this way. Watch me do it. Learn how to do it. Then I'll watch you do it, and then you do it. Amen. It's great training. That's what every church ought to do. And regardless of how long I'm the pastor here, if it's another 5, 10 years or 5 hours, I pray that the Fellowship Baptist Church will never stop doing this. mentor young men and women. Mentor the next generation. Teach them, train them. Why? So that this church will never die. So that a business can't move in and buy this facility and change what God planted this church to do. So that the congregation doesn't die off and the church dies with it. See, there needs to be vibrancy. There needs to be youth. There needs to be the cries of newborn babes. There needs to be training. There needs to be on-the-job training. That's the way God intended. Look in chapter 9, if you would, in verse number 2. When he called them together in chapter 9, verse 2, and he, meaning Moses, said unto Aaron, what? You do it. Take thee. Amen? See, he said, I showed you. I did it. Now you do it. And you go right on down. In verse number 6, and Moses said in chapter 9, verse 6, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do. Moses said, now you do it. And again, you could go all the way. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 9. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar. You do it. Not Moses did it. He said, Aaron, it's your turn to do it. Brethren, I'm telling you, this is the way. This is God's way. This is God's way. And we don't ever want to get away from this. We don't ever want to get away from this. There's churches that are dead on the vine because one man tries to do it all. Because a couple of people say, well, we've got this. No, you don't have this. This is God's work, and everyone needs to get involved in God's work. What are you doing for God? You say, well, I don't have anything to do for God. If you're saved, God gave you a gift. God gave you an ability. God gave you a talent. Let us help you to groom and use that talent so you can reach fulfillment and have purpose in God's work. There's no other way. It's the best way. Now, that's just a truth that I found when I was going through here. And listen, this is not new. I'm not saying anything new to you. These are truths that men have expounded for years. It's been here for years. People's expounded on it. And certainly, it's not the first time you've heard it. But if it is, latch on to it. Grab on to it and do not let it die. Pass it on to the next generation in your home, in your workplace, in the church. Get involved in this. Now, direction. We're talking about in chapter number 9, the direction of worship. The direction of worship. Now, listen to this. Write this down. It is not people-centered. Now, here's where a lot of folks go wrong. Now, it is including people. He said, I want you to gather the people. He said in chapter 9, he said, I want you to get, in verse number 5, all the congregation. Get them all. Bring everyone. Why? Because everyone matters to God. Everyone matters to God. He said, I want them all to be there. Now, why did God want them all there? Because God wanted them to see something very special. What's it going to be, preacher? Well, look at the latter part of verse number 6. He said, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And if you can't worship when the glory of the Lord appears, you're not saved. When God shows up, saved people worship Him. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about an emotion. I'm not talking about an emotional stirring or something that man conjectures or conjures up. I'm talking to you about when God shows up. You say, well, what did they do, preacher, when God showed up? Well, let's see. Look in chapter number 9. Look, if you would, in verse number 23. Chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. What about that? What do you think happened when the glory of the Lord appeared? Look, if you would, in verse number 24. And there came fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. They worshiped. You look that word shout up, it means they just absolutely were overwhelmed with joy. With joy. They were just overwhelmed with joy. Why? Because God showed up. God showed up. See, when God shows up, you don't have to fake worship. When God shows up, you don't have to work it up, prime it, pump it. It just comes. Amen? Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in every believer. And when God shows up, the Spirit of God magnifies the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, you see. And here the Bible says when God showed up, the people, all of them, I like that, what it says, and when, in verse number 24, all the people saw, they shouted. All of them. So, well, sure, there was somebody in there that just wasn't the shouting type. When God shows up, you'll shout. You might not shout the way I shout. You might not shout the way the next person to you shouts, but there's going to be an expression of praise when God shows up. You know what else happens? Look, if you would, here. It says they bowed, they shouted and fell on their faces, which means they bowed and fell down in humility. When God shows up, there's no big eyes. Amen. There's no people strutting around with their chest, you know, like, well, look at me, I'm somebody. You're a nobody that God made a somebody. And we need to understand that, you see. Sometimes folks say, well, I'm somebody. If you're somebody, it's only because God made you somebody. And you are what you are, as Paul said, that he was what he was by the grace of God. And the people worship. Now, why do we dedicate ourselves in chapter 8? The washing, right? The cleansing, the clothing, the consecration. We do it to serve. What happens when we serve? It's not people-centered. Say, well, I'm going to do this so this group of people over here will think well of me. You're messing up. Well, I'm going to do this to satisfy this group of people. You're messing up. Over it again in chapter number 9, God again went to great extent to say, I want to tell you directions for worship. He said, I've already talked to you about dedication. Bring yourself, present yourself. Now I want to tell you the direction. Look at this phrase here, the latter part of verse number 2. Before the Lord. Look at the latter part of verse number 5. Before the Lord. Look in verse number 21. And it's other places, but I'm just going to point some of these out. Look at verse number 21. Aaron weighed for a wave offering in chapter 9, verse 21. Before the Lord. Verse number 24. And there came out fire from before the Lord. Now, what's God wanting us to see here? God's wanting us to see that worship is directed toward God, not man. You don't worship a man. You say, well, preacher, that's simple. Sounds simple. America is drunk with idolatry. Worshiping men. Some of them have on sports uniforms, some of them have instruments, some of them play in movies. By the way, I'm getting about sick and tired of these people in the movie industry berating our leader and downgrading our country. You know, I think it's time that we just boycott that crowd. I about boycott them anyway. They didn't have to do too much for me to boycott them anyway. Just push me over the edge, amen? I think it's sickening. It's sickening. Don't worship a man. You say, well, he's a good preacher. Well, appreciate him. Respect him. Honor him. We give honor where honor is due. But you don't worship a man. Amen. And so here's the direction for worship. It's before the Lord. Well, we're going to worship Moses. No, you don't worship Moses. We're going to worship Aaron. Nope. Worship the Lord. All worship is God-centered. If God's going to bless it. Listen to me now. If God's going to bless it, did God bless it? Well, let's see. Look in verse number 22. And Aaron, chapter 9, verse 22. And Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and what? Blessed them. Why? They did it God's way. God blesses those who do it His way. You say, I need a blessing. Then do it God's way. God blesses those who do it His way. Look in chapter number 20, chapter 9, verse number 23. Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation. When they came out, guess what the first thing they did was? I believe God told them to do it. They blessed the people. God said, go bless those people. Why? He said, because they followed my instructions. That's why. I want blessings on people that will follow my instructions. You want a blessing? Follow God's instructions. Where do you find them, preacher? In the Word of God. The Word of God is instruction. And it's instruction on several things. One of the ways is on how to approach God and how to worship God. And when we will do this, God will bless us. God will bless us. So when we do it God's way, God blesses. All right? Now, not only did he bless through the leadership, but he blessed through his presence as we saw God showed up. Two times, Moses said in chapter number 9, look at this, in chapter 9, verse number 6, Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded that you," now I want you to underline this now, "that you should do." He said, this is the way you should do it. You have a choice. God didn't say, "I'm going to make you do this." Moses said, "This is the thing that God has commanded that you should do." You see that? Everybody look at it. You see what? This is the word of God, brethren. This is, listen, God is detailed. That's one of the things I'm learning about the book of Leviticus. God is very detailed in his instruction. He said, this is what you should do. And he said, I tell you what, if you'll do it this way, look at chapter, latter part of chapter 9, verse number 6. He said, if you'll do it this way, the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. Say, preacher, I need God to show up. Then start doing things God's way. Start doing things God's way. When we do things God's way, God will show up. He'll bless. Did they do it God's way? Well, you read this and you'll find they did. And then, what did God do? Well, the latter part of verse number 23 of chapter 9 says, the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It is. Why? Because they worshiped the Lord. Now, I'm going to say one more word, then I'll get in chapter 10, I'll close. This man worship versus God-centered worship is killing our churches. We're turning into an entertainment industry. And I don't want to be a performer, okay? And I don't want anyone that stands behind this pulpit to be a performer. I don't want anyone around our instruments, whether they're up here with the guitars or whether they're over here around the piano, where they're standing up here singing with mics and stands, or where they're back here in the choir. We don't want any entertainers. We want people serving God, magnifying the name of Jesus, that will help people through the songs to prepare their heart for worship, so that when the Word of God is preached and the Spirit of God moves, that God's people will worship God Himself in spirit and in truth. As long as the church is built on that, I am 100% sure by this book right here that God will show up and all the people will be blessed. I'm just sure of it because God promises it in His Word. Now, something happens. It's amazing how quick things can change. All right, so here you are in chapter number 9, and Aaron and his sons are doing it the way Moses showed them to do it, and I think that's a great thing. I can't get over that, how that God just said, listen, Moses, you show them how to do it, and then you instruct them how to do it, and now let them do it. Sometimes you just got to let them do it, right? You say, well, you know, sometimes, Dad, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just got to let go of the bicep. You say, I'm going to hold it until they're a teenager, preacher. No, you got to let it go, man. You got to let it go. You say, well, they might fall and skin their knee. Well, you know what? They'll get up. You just got to let go. And let them do it. And so we want to continue to do that here. Now, we don't want to be irresponsible in the way we handle that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And we want to certainly let people know that serving God has a great responsibility attached to it. And that's what we're going to see in this next chapter. So let me give you this, all right? So we've talked about these things. We want our worship to be God-centered. We don't want it to be man-centered. We want to do it God's way so we can have God's blessing and God's presence. We want to train the next generation. We want to do it right so that they can follow our example. We want to do it right because they are going to do it the way that they see us do it. Chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Now, most of you know what's coming. Okay? The Bible says they took either of them his censer. Well, there's a mistake already. God said, I don't want it in your own personal censer. I want the high priest censer. You know, I went through. And there's an individual that I read after who said this. He said, wrong people, handling the wrong incense, at the wrong time, it wasn't the annual day of atonement, under the wrong authority, No one told them to do it. They took it upon themselves to do it. With the wrong motive, with the wrong fire, they got their own fire, and the wrong energy. There was nothing right about what these people did, these two men. And God was severe with them. God killed them. You say, now, wait a minute, hold on, preacher. God doesn't kill anyone. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Yes. Why? Because God takes his work seriously. So here's these two men, Nadab and Abihu. And the Bible says that they put fire in their censers and they put incense thereon and offered strange fire, look at verse number 1, before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Well, the Bible says in verse 2, they went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. God struck them down. Now, our God is a consuming fire. I understand that we live in a generation and we live in a society. We live in a time where everybody wants to make much of God's love, and we should. As your pastor, I make much of God's love. I'm so thankful that God is a God of love. But now God is also a God of light, and in him is no darkness at all. And so God has a very high standard, and God wants things done a certain way. And when these individuals went outside of what God said, God dealt with them severely. You say, well, I'm glad that was in the old economy. Well, God did the same with Ananias and Sapphira in the new economy. And God, as I mentioned to you earlier in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, said, you be careful now. God takes his work serious. He does. And so you take the work that God's giving you seriously. These young men did not. They did not take God's work seriously, and it cost them. Now here's a few things, and I'll give you these and we'll be done. When you read this, you find that these men possibly were drunk. The Bible says in verse number, look if you would in verse number 9 and 10, God went to Aaron after this happened. Aaron certainly was distraught. He was hurt. It was his sons. And God said, I don't want you to mourn. He said, what happened was justified. And he said this in verse number 9. He said, Aaron, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between clean and or unclean and clean. Now what's God teaching here? God said, remember when I washed you? I want you to be clean. Okay? When you're serving me, I want you to do it in an honorable way. I don't want you to frivolously. I don't want you to come in and with no regard of to who I am and what you're doing. Just think you can do it the way you want and how you want. God said, don't treat my work that way. And so I want to close tonight with a little bit of a warning here. All right? It's a great thing to learn these principles about how God says, I want you to train the next generation. I want you to come and I want you to worship, and I will bless you. I will bless you. I will appear to you. What greater thing could God do than appear to we sinful men? Amen? Think about that for a moment. What greater thing could God do for you than to show up in your presence? The presence of God. God is good to us. But let's not take God's blessings for granted, and let's not take God's way in a frivolous manner, a trivial way, to where we think, well, we'll do it our way and God will just be okay with it. No, he will not. And so when we serve God, we need to understand that there needs to be some seriousness and there needs to be some soberness. If God's given you a position of leadership, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Because God takes it seriously. If God saved you and God's called you to do something, do it. Do it seriously. There is an indication, and my time is up. There is an indication here, and I have some things, and we may go over this yet. There's an indication here that Nadab and Abihu wanted attention. You know. Well, I tell you, these people at Moses and Dad, Aaron, they're getting attention. Let us do this and we'll get some attention. You know. And they wanted to be a part of it for that purpose, or they went about it in a wrong way, and God dealt with them severely. All right? So don't take what God's giving you to do lightly. When you come to God's house, while we're singing the songs, don't laugh and joke. Sing songs. When the Word of God's being preached, follow in the Bible and let God speak to your heart. So I have my own way of doing things. God deals with people who have their own way of doing things. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Please listen to me. I may save you a lot of trouble if you'll listen to me. I could even save you your life. So please take what I'm telling you seriously. Because God does. All right? Let's all stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Now with that said, I'm glad that God is patient. If God were not a patient God, there would none of us be here tonight. None of us. God's been far more patient with me than I could ever imagine. And I think if every one of us were to really think about it, we would have to come to the same conclusion. God's been very patient with me. Very patient. It's called the long suffering, the forbearance of God. He's patient. And I'm thankful that He is. But don't take God's patience for God's weakness. Okay? Don't think God's patience is a sign that God will not deal with sin, because God will deal with sin. No sin goes unpunished. And to the all-seeing eye of God. Let's bow our heads together. I'm thankful that we have these instructions in the book of Leviticus. Good instruction.